There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Instant Match Reaction after Liverpool beat Newcastle 3-2 at St. James's Park and a crucial win in the title race. Just the one game to go now. Ben here. John Reid joins me. We're going to talk about it. We are filming the final words straight after this, so this may be a little bit shorter than usual. But nevertheless, let's just jump right into it. John, we've done it again. We've scored late. We've won a crucial game in this season. It feels amazing. It doesn't get old.
I don't know, mate. I don't know if my heart can fucking keep taking this. It's just one of them, isn't it? It's got to go. This has to be for something. Fucking hell, like this season.
You'd hope so.
You know, and it was a weird. Like, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but it was a weird game, wasn't it? Because it was like, you know,
it was a very good game of football.
It was good. I don't think it was the game anyone expected. But it was a good game of football, and then. All these other things, bro. There was just so many like stories happening throughout the game that by the end of it, I mean, like, I think kind of like post the Salah injury, we were all just a fucking nervous wreck.
Obviously, we will get onto that. But let's just start at the beginning. Let's start with the team, because obviously, we were you know, looking at the team with a little bit of confusion, I suppose. But it did make sense, I think, when I look back. So obviously, the biggest one was Sturridge, because Bobby wasn't in the squad. He's a doubt for Tuesday, by the way. If nobody's heard that, you know, it looks like he's probably going to miss out against Barcelona as well, which isn't great. But obviously Lovren was in there as well, and you know, to see Matip, who played so well on Wednesday, dropped, and obviously not even putting Gomez in there instead, it was a bit of a confusing one. But then, you know, Sai sort of raised the point that because Rondon was playing, you know, maybe he's up for, you know, Lovren's always kind of up for a battle. As it happens, Rondon then pretty much ran rings around him the whole game.
It's interesting the change in the centre half. I think I agree that the Lovren thing makes sense, in as much as he's supposedly been fit for however long, the last 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. But it just seems such a weird thing to do. Like, I don't want to say for no reason, but when you think that, like, you know, centre half, obviously they have the ball a lot, but they don't, like, you're not gonna. It seems a weird position to rest this late in the season.
I think again, Sai summed it up brilliant for me. I thought this was the priority, but then at the same time, you know, this should have been an easier game to get out what we wanted. Or, you know, Barcelona, you've got to win by 4 clear goals on Tuesday against Barcelona. I believe we can do it, but the chances of us actually doing it are quite slim. Whereas I obviously fancied us to just beat Newcastle any which way tonight, more than I fancied it happening. So, you know, you go, well, you rest your players and you hope that you can, basically, you see what you've got left for Tuesday. You hope you can get win. You can get something out here, and then, you know, you put basically everything on the line on Tuesday. You hope that along the way Leicester go and get something at City, and then, you know, this time next week we could be on the eve of, you know, beating Wolves and going on to lift the trophy. So I can kind of understand why he did it, to be honest, because I think that team, as they did in the end, I think that team should be beating Newcastle, even the likes of Daniel Sturridge, who you know, he's added a few goals this season. You know, he scored some important goals, and tonight was another one. You know, with his contract running out and all that, tonight was another one where it was. He added his bit, I suppose. He played some good balls in the first half, but like I say, tonight was a game where you're hoping that players like him go out and just add one more time. You know what I mean? It's one of them.
You want to think, you know, yeah, I mean, like, take nothing away from Newcastle. Like, they gave us a really good game. And, you know, it was an interesting team selection, but I just think that, as you say, any team we put out really should be beating Newcastle at this stage. And I think,
especially when they're on the beach, you know what I mean?
Yes, ostensibly, like, yeah. And, you know, after especially after the Cardiff game as well. I mean, they've been safe for weeks, haven't they, Newcastle? But fair, you know, like I say, like, credit to them. You know, they made a game of it, and in a way, I don't think any of us thought maybe they were going to. As in, like, you know, I think we were all expecting them just to kind of put 10 men behind the ball and just sit in and just hope for the best and maybe play on the break. And they actually, you know, especially with the wing backs, gave us a game. You know what I mean? And you know, I say credit to them and to Rafa as well for doing it. But you know, it's not what you want, is it? Before Tuesday.
No, absolutely not. Look, we'll start. We'll go through the goals. I mean, there's not much to talk about. I suppose the Virgil one, simple as, great header, finds himself free. Not great from Newcastle, but he's got to be there to put him in, I suppose. But obviously, the talking point is Newcastle then go down the other end and equalise. Alexander Arnold. Lol. should absolutely be sent off. And it was funny because obviously the last few days, and they touched on it actually on the Sky commentary, has been the they touched on the Luis Garcia goal in the Champions League about how, you know, that goal goes in, if that goal doesn't go in, rather, you end up with the ball on the spot and a man extra. You know, Newcastle, it falls to Atsu or whoever scores, and at that point, instinct, he just puts it in. However, if he'd been a bit smarter there and, he's missed a sitter by accident, do they end up with the ball on the spot, Liverpool down to 10 men and arguably in an even better position?
Yeah, I mean, I can see the thing, but it's, you know, hindsight's 2020, isn't it? It's a great discussion point, you know, to drive things for Sky, isn't it? Ultimately, you know, to kind of... Yeah,
they're made up that it's going to the last day, aren't they?
Yeah, well, no, yeah, that. And, you know, like I say, the whole, you know, there'll be an entire 20 minutes on the debate for Sky tomorrow about whether, you know, Trent should be sent off and this, that and the other. And, you know, but like you say, ultimately, their lad's just done what anyone would do in that position with a ball spilled to them. And you know what?
He's just got his body in the way for me. And I don't know if it's intentional handball. I think he's just looking to get something in the way of it. It's instinct almost, isn't it? In fact, if somebody could tell us in the comments, because we talked about it downstairs, this double jeopardy rule, like, can he get sent off and be given a penalty at the same time? Or is it just a goal? I'm not quite too sure on it myself, and I don't think any of us were. If somebody knows, there must be a qualified referee who watched this knocking around, you know what I mean? Just let us know in the comments below. Salah goal, nifty finish. Mm-hmm. Another assist from Trent, who shouldn't have been on the pitch by that stage. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, yeah.
It's what he's been doing all season, you know, and to be fair, again, I think we've spoke often over the course of the season about how brilliant Trent's delivery is, but you can't take anything away from that ball. I mean, he literally puts it on his foot and he just strokes it in.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously that meant that we ended up going into halftime having relatively controlled the first half. You know, even though Newcastle had got a goal and they had a chance, they hit the bar, didn't they? You know, they'd had a couple of chances. I felt relatively comfortable, as comfortable as I can in this, you know, this late on in the season. The problem was then, and this is when we see the flip side of Newcastle being on the beach, they just couldn't go for it. So they start in the second half. We created a great opportunity that Daniel Sturridge missed. Then, before we know it, they go the other end, that they're putting some pressure on, and Rondon fucking cunts one in from a corner, and suddenly it's 2-2.
It's... I don't want to, like, try and apportion blame, but it's like you have to wonder where the fault is in that. In as much as, is it a moment of a clash from him, or is it our lads not necessarily not doing their jobs, but not concentrating?
Well, they don't necessarily clear the lines properly, do they?
And just looking into it and just thinking, you know, could we do more here to kind of see the danger and put it out? And, you know, are they maybe thinking at that time that, you know, like, well, we're 2-1 up here, we'll just pass this round for 45?
It's a class finish from Rondon. I think we could do better to get it clear, but I think he catches it so sweetly. And like I said before, he had been causing us some problems. Obviously, he should get the goal, really, for the first one that Trent saves. But, you know, he connects with that so well. I think it's such a good finish, and I think we've got to give some credit to him there. That's kind of what I'm driving at.
No, definitely. And I think they touched on it in the commentary on Sky that, you know, he was pulling wide a fair bit and giving, you know, giving Trent a hard time and then going over and having a go at Van Dijk and then going and having a go. You know what I mean? He wasn't just standing on one centre half and saying, all right, you know, either you beat me or I beat you. He was making a nuisance of himself. And like, again, you can't take that away from the lad ultimately, can you? That's what he's in that team to do.
Yeah. From there, obviously, we struggle a little bit creativity. I thought, like, you know, obviously Salah goes off at the time of recording. We're recording straight after the game. We don't know what the situation was with Salah. We don't know whether he suffered a concussion. It looked as if he was communicating. It looked as if he was crying. So it looked as if he was relatively aware of the situation. But, you know, hopefully it's not a concussion, because that probably would rule him out of Barca on Tuesday, which isn't.
And possibly Wolves.
If that's what's needed for his health, then obviously, you know, you keep him out, but it would be a shame if he was. But from there, you know, we bring on Origi, and suddenly we've got Origi and Sturridge leading the line, and Mane obviously is at that point the best attacking player on the pitch. And I'm like, I won't lie, I felt as if our luck had run out. I didn't feel like we were creating anything. And I'm like, try me best in group chats to jinx it and be like, oh, we're just not scoring here. Oh no, unless we do this, unless we bring Ox on, we're not doing it and all this. And I'm just trying me best to kind of just give us something myself. And I just felt, I mean, going into the last 15 minutes, we had very little of the ball in their half, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not scoring here. We're not scoring here. I don't know what you were thinking.
No, I don't know if it'll be in the story of the match. It might be, but if it is, go watch after they score.
Yeah.
For the last 15 minutes, it is just me, you and Tom, just all on the couch, just looking fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
I think the subs are interesting. I think because, as you say, I think we were lacking a bit for creativity in midfield. I actually think the manager, obviously his hand's forced slightly with the Salah injury, but I think he actually deserves some credit for, you know, the kind of the Milner switch, kind of like what he does there, taking Lovren off and kind of rejigging it. And you know, Divock Origi as well, like,
even the Shaqiri switch, I mean, again it felt a little bit late for me, but I can see, even though in the Shaqiri it's in the sense of he brings Genie off and puts on a significantly more attacking minded player. So you can see there straight away at 2-2, he's going for it. And I think that is, they're the balls that we've seen develop on Jurgen Klopp over the last few weeks, starting it from Southampton, where he brings on, you know, Henderson, and he plays him further forward and he goes for it a bit more. And Spurs as well, he made a couple of attacking substitutions, and you think, well, you know, this is it now. There's no more room for error. We've got to win this game. And like you say, to basically, again, you're playing Fabinho, who's incredibly defensive minded, and what he's done there is, with his last sub of the game, rather than throwing Ox on, who may be lacking still a little bit of match sharpness, he's gone, well, tell you what, I'll put the incredibly defensive minded midfielder into centre back, where I know he can fit in for 10 minutes, and I'll put in a guy, an experienced fella who can do it all, and he'll just be dead busy and dead annoying for the other team in the centre of midfield, and he might create something. And to be fair to Miller, again, we know what we're getting with him. He's going to work hard. He gets a booking in stoppage time, which breaks up the play and slows things down. He just knows what he's doing. I think you're right. I think that was possibly the best substitution of the three, even though we were obviously not, it wasn't necessarily the most obvious one.
No, it wasn't. And I think, again, he deserves credit for that, but I also think it's the most intuitive way of kickstarting what you're doing, isn't it? Ultimately, you know, like, if there was a lot, you know, there was two or three free kicks in that period as well, where you could see the players themselves arguing over who was taking what. And I actually think that's a positive thing in that circumstance. You know, you could look at it and think, well, this is going to do them in a bit here, because, you know, you should have some clarity. But it actually helped, because, you know, if you're the Newcastle team and you've been looking at how Liverpool take their set pieces for the last week under Benitez, you're not ready for Shaqiri being on the pitch, because he's not featured. You know,
And Van Dijk's telling him to take it, and I said, don't let Shaqiri take it, and then it goes in, and it'll be on the story of the match. You'll see. I'm just like, oh my god, honestly. There's been some mad moments this season, hasn't there? And I think that's got to be up there in terms of just disbelief. As again, at the top of the show, we've done it again. It's just you know, that falls into Everton, Spurs. It falls into that group, because it's just, we've done it again.
we were touching on it after full time, downstairs, that, like, this has to be for something, doesn't it? Like, the story must end somewhere well for us with this. Like, you has to. I don't get how it couldn't.
You're right. you're hanging yourself out to dry there.
No.
And like, just going to at Leicester.
No. And like, I get that it might not. Like, yeah. I completely understand that. But you can't. I think at the same time, you know, as. And I don't think our fans are, to be honest. You know, like, you can't take anything away from how brilliant this team has been this season. No. And like, it is like, we were having a little discussion as well at full time about whether this might be the best Liverpool team all in, not just Premier League and stuff. And it's like, again, you've got to say, like, you know, Paul was saying that, you know, there's no, a lot of those old teams didn't have a City up against them. You know, some of them did, obviously, in the 80s. But what a team this team is, man. Like, and it's, what I like about it, you know, about that, like what you've touched on there, is that's a mentality thing. And like, you know, how many years prior to this season have we said, you know, we need to get lads in who've won things, you know what I mean, and have that experience in the dressing room and, you know, all that type of stuff. And weirdly, even when we had Gerrard and stuff, you know, he obviously hadn't won the league, he'd won Champions League, but he hadn't won that. And you know, to have that kind of feeling of what a title run is, I think it can only build well for us in the future, whatever happens at the end of this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just love that we've just got this mad fella who seems to, everything he touches seems to turn to gold for us, and he just gets the club, and the players have all bought into it, we've all bought into it as fans. I just think it's great.
Yeah. Well, we're just doing all we can do at this point. That is all we are doing. Look, you know, we've known for quite a few weeks now that we're relying on Man City dropping points, and in the meantime, we just got to win our games and hope that happens. We're at a situation where I think you'd be daft not to watch the City games, to be honest, because you know, there clearly was a period where we were all just like, look, don't bother, don't, you know, go and watch a film, go and do something else. I think it's now worth watching that on Monday night, because I think City again will have seen that tonight and gone, oh, fuck's sake, you know what I mean? And it's another one of them. Look, I'm still believing. I know you're still believing. We're here until 2 a.m. because we all care and we all still believe. We're going to go and film the final word now, so get over to the website to go and watch that either later tonight or in the morning. I don't know which one. In the meantime, subscribe to the video, subscribe to the channel, like the video, leave us a comment. and we'll be back after Barcelona. Who knows where we'll be by then in this title race. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Up the Reds.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.